God is an awesome and mighty God. God is an amazing God. God has done great things. He has chosen us in Christ. Let me just encourage you a minute. Think with me about how awesome God is. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He has loved us with a steadfast love. That word in Hebrew, keseth, it means the love that is devoted to His covenant people. It won't quit on us. God has done great things for us. He sent His Son for us. Can you just worship with me for a second? He sent His Son to earth in a flesh suit like ours. He went to the cross and poured out His blood. He accomplished our redemption at the cross. He rose from the grave and went to the Father. He's coming back to get us. God is good to us. He's absolutely devoted to us. Amen? God is committed to us. He loved us and He gave. And so, unfathomable grace has been poured out on us as children of God. Amen? We've been blessed. How do we respond to that kind of love? How do we respond to that kind of grace, guys? What is the appropriate response to the bigness of our God? Songs are not enough. External religious ceremonies are not enough. But as we sang this morning, Isaac Watts said in his hymn, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." The only appropriate response to a God this big, to a love this amazing, is to give Him my all. Can I get an amen on that? No song will do. No perfect attendance in Sunday school. My all. And even then, we can't pay Him back, can we? For what He's done for us in His love and at the cross. Paul kind of says this same thing in Romans 12, verse 1. He says that we are offering our bodies, which that word for body, it's talking about our whole self, our all, our everything. Paul says that we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Remember the lambs on the altar that were given to God? They gave all, didn't they? And we are, in that same way, to give all to Him, not by killing ourselves or being killed as a sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. In other words, the only kind of worship that this God is worthy of is more than a song. It's my life poured out as a living sacrifice. He's worthy of that, do you not? But we forget how worthy He is. Are you like me? Do you wake up some mornings and your heart is not moved and warmed by the theology, the truth, and the greatness of God? Do you get up some mornings and you're kind of cold feeling in your heart to God? We forget how awesome God is, and we forget that He's worthy of our lives poured out from Him in worship. Would you agree with me? We need reminders. And I think God today wants to give us a milestone reminder for our church that He's awesome. And the only response that we should give is our everything. We need reminders. There's one such reminder in Acts. So in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, as we think about the kind of response, the appropriate response to God for His love for us in Christ, look at these scriptures together. Acts 6, verse 1. "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists," that is the Greek-speaking Jews, "arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution," that is, of food. "And the twelve apostles summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty.'" In other words, we're going to choose 7 godly men to oversee the ministry of food distribution in the church. But look what the apostles said in verse 4. "But we will devote ourselves to prayer, to the ministry of the Word. Now, it's not that the 12 apostles were too good to wait on tables. It's not that menial tasks were beneath them. Jesus said the leaders must be the slaves of all in the body of Christ. Amen? We should all serve. None of us are too good to scrub the toilets. It's the job of everyone, right? But God had called the apostles to a particular task and function in the church. And they cannot let other tasks distract them from the function God wants them to serve in the body. And so they said, we will appoint other men to look after the tables. But we will do what? We as leaders in the church will do what? We will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Can I give a challenge right now to myself and to our elders, Mickey and TJ? We will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And can I also quickly say to members of the church, every job you do in the church helps the elders devote themselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Everything that doesn't get done comes down to us. And if we're spread so thin doing other things that we're not devoting ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word, the church will suffer. And so the apostles here said, we will devote ourselves. Notice that word, devote. I want us to explore that word in the Greek for a moment. And we're going to see that word pop up in other places because it's not only the apostles who are going to devote themselves. All right? The word, let's focus first on the devotion of the leaders of the church. The word they use is the Greek word proskartereo. Proskartereo. That word means this. To be devoted to. I'll put it on the screen. I want us all to see what this is all about. To be devoted to something. To continue to do something with intense effort. To keep on. To persist in. To occupy oneself diligently with something. To pay persistent attention to. And then look at this last one. To give yourself to something. To give oneself to something. Remember how I approached this morning. Love this amazing. The love we've experienced from God in Christ. It demands what? Your life, my soul, my life, my all. This word the apostles use is we will devote ourselves. Proskartereo. We will give ourselves. And most translations of the scripture, like the ESV we read this morning, translate this word as devote ourselves. We will devote ourselves. But if you have a King James Version or a New King James Version, you might notice here, I like the way that they bring out the continual aspect of devoting ourselves. The New King James says this, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. So we will devote ourselves or we will give ourselves continually. My dad shared that scripture with me, with my brother, and our families a couple weeks ago, calling us as pastors when discouragement sets in, when we don't see the fruit that maybe we want to see, or when this happens or this happens, when opposition comes or just have a bad day, to remember these words that the apostles spoke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, we will give ourselves. Will you say that with me again this morning? We will give ourselves continually. I hear the word give ourselves. I think of being poured out like water. I think of Christ on the cross. He gave Himself. Amen? God so loved that He gave. Jesus at the cross loved us and gave Himself. He was poured out like water. What should our response be? To such love. Church, listen to me this morning. God wants us, as we start our second year together, to be a people who are giving ourselves continually. Just let the Spirit of God write that, like tattoo that on your heart this morning. We will give ourselves continually. In fact, I would like us us to kind of adopt this as an unofficial slogan for this second year as our church. We will give ourselves continually. TJ and Nikki, when we as leaders are devoting ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word, there are going to be times when we get frustrated, when we get discouraged. We will give ourselves continually. But it's not only for the leaders. I want us to look at the devotion, not only of the leaders of the church, but of the church. The devotion of the church. Luke, the physician, is the one who wrote Acts. And he used that Greek word, proskartereo, devoted to, give ourselves continually. He used that of the apostles in chapter 6, but he's used that word twice already in the book of Acts to speak of the mixed congregation. Not just the apostles devoting to the church, but the church devoting to each other. I want to show you a couple places where that word, proskartereo, we will give ourselves continually, is used. In Acts 1:14, before the Spirit came at Pentecost, it says, all of these, with one accord, or in unity, were devoting themselves to prayer. That means they were giving themselves continually to prayer. And now, if you remember, after the Spirit fell on the 120 believers in the upper room, what happened? The tongues of fire appeared over their heads. They began to speak in other languages as the Lord empowered them. And a crowd heard the commotion and gathered around people from all over the world. And Peter, filled with the Spirit, preached the gospel to them. He said, we're not drunk, as you might suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what the prophet Joel prophesied, that in those days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. He began to preach about Christ. He pointed his bony finger at these men who had only weeks before had crucified Christ. And they were scared in the upper room thinking they're next. But now Peter has a boldness about him when the Spirit comes upon him and he says, you crucified the Lord of glory, but God raised him up. And you remember what happened? The Holy Spirit moved in that congregation of that gathered crowd, and they were cut to the heart. And they said, what shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And that day, about 3,000 souls believed the gospel and were baptized and were added to the church. Luke tells us what happened next. Imagine your church just grew from 120 to 3,120 in one afternoon. Or one morning. How long did he preach? All day? I don't know. In one day. And so the church began to organize. The church began to meet. And in Acts 2, verses 41 and 42, we read what happened in the early church. So those who received His Word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The very next words, look at it. And they devoted themselves. Proskartereo. They gave themselves. They poured themselves out. They were persistent in something. They paid specific attention to some things. They gave themselves continually. That's what this word means. They devoted themselves to four things: the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayer. Now, I've talked about these things before, so we're not going to spend a lot of time explaining each one, but let's look at them. The early church devoted themselves, gave themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, what did we just find out that the apostles were giving themselves to? In Acts 6:4, what did the apostles say they were going to devote themselves to? Help me out. Acts 6:4. We will devote ourselves to what? They said. Do I need to start over the whole sermon? Is it going to get it? No. They devoted themselves to what? The preaching and teaching the Word. Prayer and the ministry of the Word. By the way, the ministry of the Word without prayer, it's not good, is it? Prayed up, preached. And so the disciples, the apostles, are devoting themselves to praying, studying, speaking, proclaiming, teaching the Word. So if the apostles are devoting to preaching, the word, and what's the church here devoting themselves to? Hearing it, listening to it, considering it, understanding it, believing it, and doing it. Amen? Look with me. I can talk with my hands. The apostles are devoting themselves to preaching, teaching the word. We will give ourselves continually to prayer, the ministry of the word. Here's you guys. Here's the church. They're devoting themselves to hearing the preaching, believing the preaching, and obeying the preaching. This is the early church. They gave themselves to the apostles' teaching. That means when the apostles were ready to teach, the sheep showed up at the trough to eat. Man, how many of you know? You ever put yourselves in the shoes of a pastor? You come to feed the sheep, but if the sheep don't show up to eat, that makes it difficult, doesn't it? And so there's a twofold responsibility. The apostles are devoting themselves to teach the church. The church is devoting themselves to hearing that word. To hearing that word. They also devoted themselves to the fellowship. That word is koinonia. The word fellowship means a sharing or a participation of a group. A shared life. Fellowship is not just eating. Fellowship is a sharing of life with something in the middle that we're all focused on. What's that thing in the middle that we're all focused on? Sharing Christ and His gospel at the center of our shared life together. This is not a good idea. This is not Kerry Cox's vision for the church. This is Acts chapter 2. Inspired by the Spirit of God. If we're going to build His church with Him, this is what we have built. The apostles are devoting themselves to teaching in the church. These 3,120 souls are giving themselves continually to hearing, understanding, believing, and doing the word, and then sharing their lives together around Christ. They not only are devoted, by the way, they're not just open to the idea of sharing their lives. They're not just open to that idea, they're devoted to it. They're devoted to it. Two more things. They devote themselves to the breaking of bread. Shared meals. A lot of scholars believe this is referring to both the Lord's Supper and just shared meals in homes. Getting together and eating. Do you know that when you invite another family from church over into your home and you set a meal in front of them, that is a spiritual thing you're doing. That is an act of worship. As we come together to get to know each other and learn how to pray for each other better over a meal. And you know, it doesn't have to be an awesome meal. You can come together around, you know, some sandwiches and get to know each other. We will give ourselves continually to that. That's what the church is doing in Acts 2. We will give ourselves to meals together. We will give ourselves to getting to know each other. We will give ourselves to making sure when the leaders of the church are ready to teach, I'm going to be there to eat. I'm going to give myself to the participation, the fellowship, the koinonia. And the last thing they gave themselves to was to the prayers. They gave themselves to public and private prayers. These four things express the devotion of the early church. Now, I want us to look, as we continue this morning, at what does that look like? What does that look like? We've seen the devotion of the leaders. We will give ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. Point number two this morning, we saw the devotion of the church. They gave themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the prayers and the meals. But now let's look at this devotion to each other. What does this look like in the church? And before we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, let me ask you a question. Does it seem odd to speak of giving ourselves to each other in the church? It's easy to think about giving myself to Jesus, right? He's the one who died on the cross for me. It's easy for us to think of giving my life to God. But isn't it sometimes difficult to think of also giving my life to the people of the church. But is it not implied that when I give myself to the Lord, I'm giving myself also to the people He's saving? If I give myself to the head, am I also not giving myself to His body? Amen? And there's many scriptures that back that up. Countless scriptures that call us to love one another, serve one another, share our lives together. But I want to just focus on one scripture that Paul used to help anyone here who may be struggling with, is it really biblical for me to give myself, to commit myself to the people of the church, not just to Jesus? Paul wrote a letter to the church at Corinth. He wrote several letters to them. But in his second letter to the Corinthians, he wanted to encourage them in their giving. And he used the Macedonian church, the Philippians, other churches there in the Macedonian area. He wanted to use them as a good example. And in saying, he gives us some helpful advice. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 and 5. Paul says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia." Look at this. "They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us." Have you ever noticed this scripture before? Paul says the churches of Macedonia that he was praising, they first gave themselves to Christ, and then, flowing out of that, by the will of God, they gave themselves to Paul and the other apostles. They gave themselves not only to Jesus, but to Jesus' people. I think in the South, we have a lot of people who are fine with talking about giving themselves to Jesus. But it grates against our individualism to talk about giving ourselves to each other. And I think we have a difficulty seeing the Scripture from any other perspective than a modern Western perspective that emphasizes individualism. And we take Scriptures about salvation and we rip them out and we apply them to me and Jesus. And you know, I can come to church every now and then and get fed, but you know what? If I don't, that's okay. I'm me and Jesus, man. We're walking this out. That is not the picture that Scripture gives us of what God is doing, guys. He's not just saving individuals. He's saving a body of people whom He is working in this world till Jesus comes back. He is shaping us. He is molding us. He is patient with us. When the church blows it, when we stumble, when we fall, He is beautifying us. He is what? Purging us. He's teaching us. If you've made a commitment to Jesus, but you've never made a commitment to His church, I think the Scripture would have a problem with that. We commit ourselves to Christ, and we live that out by serving His people. Amen? Is that what the Scriptures are saying? Paul says again, they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God, they gave themselves to us also. And so it's not odd to speak of committing ourselves to Jesus and His people. Let me ask you this next. What happens when we fail to commit ourselves to each other in the church? We could probably raise hands and give some examples. What happens when the people of any local church family fail to commit ourselves to each other? Hit and miss. I'll show up when I can or when I, whatever. I'll participate only what I'm comfortable doing. When we fail to commit to all in, I'm not only going to pour my life out for Jesus, I'm going to do it here with you. My commitment to Jesus will be seen in my commitment to you. Which is the biblical way to do it. What happens when we fail to do that? Okay? What happens when the leaders fail to give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word? Is that going to have an effect in the church? There's going to be weak preaching. No gospel. There's going to be a weakness in the church. Are the members of the church going to get discouraged when their leaders won't lead? Yes. Yeah. Not doing anything. Not giving us a little shallow devotional. You read out of my daily bread or whatever. I'm not saying all my daily breads are shallow or whatever. But you know what I mean? You're not really studying God's word and seeking Him in prayer. The membership is going to get discouraged with the leaders. Okay? Flip that. What's going to happen to pastors when the members aren't committing themselves to each other and to the life of the church? What's going to happen to pastors when they pour themselves out to feed the sheep and the sheep don't show up to the trough to eat? Burnout? Discouraged pastors? The often quoted statistic that you can find anywhere online is that 1,500 pastors drop out of the ministry every month. You know, some of that's moral failure. Some of that's just discouragement. You know, all different reasons. What I'm saying is, when we don't commit to each other, it's not good for the church, is it? Scripture tells us this in Hebrews 13:17. Look at this. So we talk about members committing to make the pastor's work joyful. Look at this verse. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." That's a crazy scripture, isn't it? This is a call for commitment in a church to follow the leadership, because the leadership is watching out for your soul as those who have to give an account to God who owns your soul. And he says to you, to the members of the church, serve in the church in such a way that the pastors who are watching over your soul, it's a joy for them to watch out for your soul, not a groaning. Now, I think sometimes it may be hard to get into the heart of a pastor and look at it. Imagine for a moment that you are your pastor, that you are your own pastor. You are watching out for your soul. It is your responsibility to pray for your soul, to study and prepare the scripture to teach your soul. Okay? If you were your pastor, would you be encouraged with yourself? Or with the commitment you're demonstrating to the life of the church of Christ, would that make yourself a groaning to yourself? This sounds self-serving to me to talk about leadership. But I want to hit this from both sides, because pastors do get discouraged. And church members get discouraged. And as we start this new year, I think God wants us to move past any discouragement and say, you know what, whatever the fruit, whatever is going on, whatever discouraging thing would happen, we're going to give ourselves continually because God deserves it. That's what I'm trying to say. And I want you to pray for your pastors, the elders of the local church, that we wouldn't get discouraged, that we wouldn't look at, you know, all these other things that we might want to look at, but that we would pour ourselves out for you, for Him. Amen? That we would give our all. And if, you know what, if three people show up on a Wednesday night, I want to give my all in preaching and teaching the Word. I don't want to say, well, Wednesday night, fewer people come, I don't have to study as hard. I can get by with giving a little something, and you know, no! Jesus is worthy, and the church is worth more than that. And so leaders, we will give ourselves continually for Him. And then, to you, I would say, pour yourself out. Is Jesus not worth your all? Where do you see that all being poured out? You see it in the life of the church. You see it as we go out into the community. Well, you see it as you men lead your families in commitment to Christ and His people and His cause. That's where we see it. Anybody can say, I'm committed to Jesus. But where do we I'm not heaping guilt on us this morning. If the Spirit wants us to repent, if you need to repent of some things or lack of commitment, then that's between you and God. I don't have ill will toward anyone. But I got some fire this morning because I want to see us encouraged and I want to see us committed to Christ and to each other. And so, Hebrews 13:17, live in such a way to make your pastor's work of watching out for your soul, make it a joy, not a burden. Bringing those two together, the leaders and the members, there's a beautiful verse in Judges of all places. Yeah, can anything beautiful be in the book of Judges? Yes! The song of Deborah. You guys remember Deborah, one of the women judges? And as God gives victory to Israel through her and Barak, she lifted up a song to God in Judges 5:2. Look at these words this morning in light of what we're talking about. That the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly. Bless the Lord! Isn't that beautiful? That's exactly what I want to communicate to us this morning. That the leaders took the lead. Amen. That the people poured themselves out, offered themselves willingly. Amen. It takes both of them. Pray for your pastors that we would take the lead. I've never claimed to be a great leader. I want God to use me. I want to preach the word. But pray for me. I want to lead you well. TJ and Mickey, love you guys. They're doing a great job. They love you. You know, they're praying for you and your marriage. They're praying for you and your heart, for your family. We love you. We want to do that better. Will you pray for us? That we will give ourselves continually. And we want to pray for you too, even this morning, that all of us would be committed to Christ and His people. Look at that again. That the leaders took the lead, that the people gave themselves willingly. Bless the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. And it is to give God praise for. So what does this look like? When I'm committed to you and you're committed to me, when the leaders are committed to the people, when the people are committed to each other and to the leaders, what does it look like? Glad you asked. Ephesians chapter 4. This is a familiar passage. We'll read it quickly. We won't be here too much longer this morning. Stick with me. Ephesians 4, building the body together. We read, beginning in verse 12, and He gave the apostles, that's Jesus gave to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. A lot of translations use pastor for shepherd right there. That's what that's talking about, pastors, shepherds. Jesus gave leaders to the church. Why? Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Wait. I thought we pay a pastor so he can go and do all the work. He cleans, he visits the sick, he does all that. Well, yeah, I do that because I'm a sheep too. But the pastors are to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. Do you know that every Christian is a minister? Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has been given a gift. And God expects you to get to work and use that gift to function in the body. Amen? We could read Romans 12. We could read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God has gifted the body. And you didn't get to choose what your gift is. The Holy Spirit sovereignly gifted you as He willed. As He will, He put the people in this local church that need to be here with the gifts we need. We just need you to use them. Amen? There are ministries that can be birthed in this church that God may want you to do. We need it. We need you and what God has put in you. Amen? The pastors, the apostles, the prophets, how do the leaders equip the saints? By devoting themselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. By praying for you and speaking God's Word to you, we are equipping you to action in ministry. I wonder what ministries, man, God would want you involved with in this place. Maybe you're not a leader, but you have a gift. There are public gifts. There are private gifts. We need you. Are you in? Are you committed? man, it's an overused metaphor, but it's scriptural. The body of Christ. You are a member, just like I have parts of my body, and sometimes I may think one part of my body is not as, you know, useful or important as another, but God gave me all my parts, and I need them all. And if I decide that I'm going to do something, like shoot a basketball, I don't know why I would choose to shoot a basketball. It's not going to go in. But if I set my mind on that, I would need my whole body to show up for that meeting. For any chance of that ball going in. I need my hands, right? I need my knees bending properly. I need my eyes. Everything has to work together. Now, say I call a meeting of my body, the body of Kerry Cox, and I say I'm going to shoot a basketball, and 45% of my body show up to that meeting, or 75% of my body shows up to that. Man, I hope my heart shows up. Hope my brain is there. Maybe I can live without a pinky finger, but you know what? I'm going to hope that the... I can't work. The parts that show up are going to be overworked because they're going to be trying to do their job plus somebody else's job. In the church, guys, we are the body of Christ. And if we continue reading here, look what it says. Until we all, we're to build each other up, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Rather, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom, out of Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Oh, did you see that phrase? Out of Jesus the head. We are all parts of the body. We're receiving life sap from the tree. If you want a different metaphor, we're branches and Jesus is the trunk, the vine, and life-giving sap comes from Jesus to us and we bear fruit. Back to the body metaphor, He's the head, and life flows out of Him, and we're the parts of the body, and it says when each part is working properly, we grow up in love. Are you guilty of not working properly? Are you guilty of not performing the function in the life of the church that Jesus has gifted you with? I'm not laying guilt on you. I'm telling you, repent. Come out of that. God wants to use you here in this church and out of the community. Amen? Do you hear me this morning? When you don't do your job, someone else is going to do their job plus your job. When you don't help with the chores, someone else is going to do their part plus yours. What happens over time? Burnout. What's going to happen to your body if only 45% of your body does all the functions of your body? Overwork, man. Heart attack. Giving out. If we're going to be a healthy church, we need to obey these scriptures we're looking at this morning. We must give ourselves continually. We must give ourselves to Christ and to one another. Amen? Is this God's word? If it is, let's do it. All right, I want to encourage us with a picture of all this. We're closing out, okay? Stick with me. A little picture to remind us of what I've been trying to communicate to you this morning. And it's from Israel's Old Covenant worship. Remember God told them, He brought them out of Egypt, He gave them the priesthood, the sacrificial system, He made Aaron and his sons priests, and that this is how a sinful people can approach a holy God, they must sacrifice. If you turn to the book of Leviticus in your daily time with God, you probably get a little burned out because you're like, it's just one sacrifice after another. These are all the rules of how Israel is to worship God with animal sacrifices. How can I get anything out of that in my private devotion? But you can, because the sacrifices point to Jesus. Amen? But when we zero in this morning on Leviticus 6, God is going to give the rules to the priests. And what He tells them is, they are responsible, listen to me, the priests were responsible to keep the fire burning on the altar all the time. That was the most difficult at night. And so they had to make extra provision for the fire to not go out at night. Leviticus 6:13 shall be kept burning on the altar continually. Does that word ring a bell? Continually. It shall not go out. Fire shall be kept burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. What's the significance of that? Well, one way that could picture Christ and His continuing devotion to us, because the sacrifices were all about Jesus. They all are found their fulfillment in Him. And listen to me, church. Just as the fire never went out on the altar, Jesus' devotion to you and I, His people, never goes out. He is devoted to us. I mean, we're talking about giving ourselves continually. Jesus gave Himself at the cross, and He ever lives to make intercession for us. He gives Himself continually to us in love. Our commitment flows out of that. It's just a thank you worship to God because of that. And so when you think about the fire that never goes out, on one hand, think of Jesus, His love, His grace, His ministry to you never goes out. His love never quits. But on the other side, it was the priests, the worshipers, who were responsible to keep that fire burning. And so I would ask this morning, listen to me, could that be a picture of our unceasing worship and praise to God? When we think of the fire on the altar that never went out, think first of Jesus, man. His sacrifice is good forever. His blood always speaks for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. His fire never goes out. But because of that, our fire should never go out. Our worship should never cease. Our giving ourselves continually to Jesus and His people should never go out. Paul said in Romans 12, let me just hit you with a barrage of scriptures that talk about our continual giving. Look at these scriptures. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Romans 12, 11. Paul also encouraged young Timothy. Look at this. He said in 2 Timothy 1, 6, fan to flame the gift of God which is in you. I would speak as our pastor this morning to you, this church family, as we start our second year. Fan into flame, church, the gift of God that is in you. Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. If He put it in you, it's good. Got to learn to use it right. Got to learn to use it scripturally and with love. But it's a good gift. You say, man, my personality gets in the way, or I do this. No, you can learn God's grace to use that gift. But don't be discouraged. Don't let your flame go out. Revive us again, O God. Or to be a soul on fire. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Hebrews 13, 15. Look at this. Through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. 1 Chronicles 16, 11. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. Daniel 6, when he got thrown in the lion's den, the king said, he declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. May your God, Daniel, whom you serve continually, may He deliver you from the lions. Are you serving Him continually? Is your flame burning? Psalm 34, 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall what? Continually be in my mouth. Psalm 119, 44, I will keep your law continually. Ever and ever. Luke 24, the last verses of the Gospel of Luke after Jesus went back to heaven, and they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Do you see that this morning? Is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you? How is your flame burning for the Lord? Are you committed to Christ and His people? We, by His grace, will give ourselves continually. When discouragement comes, guess what? We're going to give ourselves continually. When we grow, if hard times come, if persecution comes, we will give ourselves continually. Will you say that with me again this morning? We will give ourselves continually. One more time, everybody, speak it out. We will give ourselves continually by His grace, with His help. That's worship, not to earn salvation. We will give ourselves continually. The fire comes from God. He's the source of it. You can't light your own fire. And it burns back up to the Lord. God is the beginning and the end. He's the source and the object. As Matt Redman writes, he tries to find a way to work this line into every one of his praise songs. Start listening for it. Breathing in your grace, breathing out your praise. A version of that line, a variation of it, is in several of his songs, but that must be something God has really done in his heart. In other words, even the energy I use singing to God came from God. I can't give God anything that I didn't receive from Him, right? From Him and through Him and to Him are all things. And so, you need your fire to come from God. And what's that fire going to do? It's going to go back up to God in prayer and praise and service. Charles Wesley wrote this hymn. Check this out. This is beautiful. O Thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it for Thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. Church, Christ's saving work and His steadfast love for His people is continually toward us. If you are not a believer, if you're here with us this morning, Jesus loved us and gave Himself for us on the cross. God so loved that what? He gave His only Son. He is devoted to us. He gives Himself continually. What is our response? Believe on Christ. Repent of your sins. But then how should you live? Love is amazing. This divine demands our soul, our life, our all. We will give ourselves continually. By His grace, we will give ourselves continually.